Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 307. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019. We started with the baseball. Huge win from the Mets, a playoff clinching win for the New York Yankees. But there was other news that under normal circumstances would have been the lead. The New York Giants, your New York Giants, your 0-3 New York Giants have made the decision. We talked about it all yesterday, and I told you how I feel about it, and I still feel the same way. The fan in me is super excited. The fan in me, the Giant fan in me, is excited for Sunday more than I would have been if Jackson Dart was not the quarterback. So Jackson Dart's going to be the quarterback. They've made that decision. Brian Daboll has gone to the young man that he clearly feels is ready. He named him the second-string quarterback early on in the process before games were played. And right now, they're going to go to him in the middle of this, going up against a very good team, against a very difficult defense, and against one of the best head coaches in the NFL. That's where he's going to make his first start at MetLife against the L.A. Chargers. Now, again, the fan in me is pumped. I'm more excited to see Jackson Dart than I would have been Russell Wilson. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I am ready for this new era of Giants football and see how it goes. As a fan, I'm excited. But I'm concerned that this is a panic move. I'm concerned this is a decision made because they have nothing else to turn to, because they feel this is, they don't want to have a same kind of toxic environment at MetLife Stadium, that the coach needs to show off this quarterback. Like, I'm just concerned that he's not ready, but they're forcing it. And that's been my concern. And coming out of, he wasn't necessarily a project quarterback the same way that Josh Allen was a project coming out of Wyoming, and no one knew exactly what he was. Talented, strong, fast, but could throw the ball 100 yards, but what was he? Wasn't the same project quarterback that Lamar Jackson kind of was in that same draft class of, wasn't sure he was even going to be a quarterback. People were thinking about drafting him with the thought process of, you know, changing positions and, you know, what he was coming out of Louisville. So he's not that kind of project, but, you know, coming out of Ole Miss and that Lane Kiffin offense, he was viewed as someone who was going to take some time. He was viewed as someone as the, you know, one of the quarterbacks in this draft that probably weren't as ready to step into an NFL offense and was going to need some time. And I believe that, and I thought that was a good plan. And I am concerned they're doing this for the wrong reasons. But that no longer matters. My concerns no longer matter. It is time for Jackson Dart to play. And what makes me feel better is there's no question that the minute he got into camp, the minute he got with the Giants, that notion of him not really being a project and not being ready changed fairly quickly, because he played much better in the preseason than we would have expected. He was named the second-string quarterback, which, again, is not insignificant. You do that for a reason. No one expected him to be the second string quarterback. That was Jameis Winston. They went out and they signed Jameis Winston. Then they went out and they signed Russell Wilson. And they did it for a reason. I know people are still confused by that. One, you didn't know you were going to get a quarterback in the draft. And two, you can't go into the draft with the obvious nature of needing and desperate for a quarterback. You got to be able to, you know, play the game, and not having a quarterback on the roster makes it impossible to play the game at the NFL draft level. So, like, free agency happens before the draft. And that's why they brought in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston took a very, you know, team-friendly backup quarterback money deal early on. And then they were able to find room for Russell Wilson. So, like, I understand why they did it. I still would have stuck with the plan. But Connor Hughes was on with the Afternoon Drive show. And he was talking about, and I had heard this, and again, we'll see how it plays out, but I do feel a little bit better after listening to Connor and some of the other reports here, that the New York Giants are doing this at least for somewhat of the right reason, that they honestly believe that he has an opportunity to be the best quarterback in the room right now. And Connor Hughes said on the Afternoon Drive show that if there was an open competition to be the starting quarterback in camp, that he would have won the competition over Russell Wilson, that he outplayed Russell Wilson, that he was surprisingly good, that he soaked up information like a sponge, and that the Giants were pleasantly surprised with how quickly he picked up everything, and that he honestly was the better quarterback in camp. Now, he played more in the preseason games, but he did look better than Russell Wilson. He looked better than Jameis Winston. He looked like the best quarterback and someone who was ready to play. So that's where I'm at least starting to feel a little bit better about it, that the feeling inside the Giants room is not, hey, we're desperate. The feeling inside this Giant camp isn't necessarily, we have to play Jackson Dart because the season's over, or I have to prove why we drafted him, or I have to do this to save my job. At least I do believe there is a somewhat significant feeling inside this Giant team, whether it be Brian Daboll or Joe Shane or the coaching staff, or whoever else, that there is a real belief that this kid is ready and that going into this game, he's the best quarterback on the team and it's time to make that official. So, look, I get it. I get it. I have my concerns about it. I think it's a tough road to hoe. I think after this, yeah, sure, they have the matchup against the Saints, which would give them a better opportunity to win. And, hey, he probably has a better opportunity to win that game against the Saints if he gets his feet wet in the NFL the week before. And maybe some of these rookie mistakes or these opening game jitters that someone would have playing their first NFL game ever, you get them out of the way before going to New Orleans, which is a very winnable game, and you give yourself a better opportunity. But following that is a very difficult three-week stretch. 4 days later on Thursday Night Football, you're playing the Eagles at home. Then you're flying across the country to go take on Denver and that defense. And then you're coming back to Philadelphia to play the Eagles again in a three-week stretch. That's a tough three-week stretch for a rookie quarterback. It just is. And I have my concerns because I want him to get off to a good start and be confident instead of getting his ass kicked by the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. And probably having a lousy game in Denver and playing a very difficult game against the Chargers this week. So overall, I think as a fan, we were all ready for this. And typically, this is what you do when you have a dead season. And make no mistake, with the New York Giants and Russell Wilson at the helm and the rest of this roster and in this division, 0-3 is a death sentence. 0-3 is the end of the season. So I'm all on board. I'm bought in. I'm done giving my reasons why I don't like it. There's no point in it. He's going to be the quarterback, and now we just wait and see if he's good enough. And there are things I want to see come Sunday that I didn't see from Russell Wilson, and see if there's an offense, see what the red zone offense looks like under Jackson Dart. See if he can actually make some throws across the middle, see how mobile he can be. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's not necessarily the situation they're putting him into that makes me nervous. It's the opponent and the idea he didn't get as much time to develop as we thought he might need. But the actual situation he's getting thrown into with the roster he has, I don't think it's the offensive line was not good and got overrun against Washington. I don't think there's any debate on that. They played a miserable game. Russell Wilson had very little time to make a play. They got absolutely run over.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dallas was a completely different story. Now, I know they don't have Micah Parsons, and that pass rush isn't all that great, and their defensive backfield was hurt with Bland being out and whatever else, and their terrible defense. We saw what the Bears did to them. I get it. But I still think the offensive line played well, and now, off of last week, and Andrew Thomas, if Andrew Thomas is playing, and he will, it depends on how many snaps they give him, but Andrew Thomas and Illuminora tackles, As far as the edge rushers go and his blind side, I think he's in a good spot with the offensive line. I don't think it's a disaster. Now, again, Schmitz at center is not very good. The interior alignment with Runyon, I'm not overly confident with it. But at least he gets, I'm not saying it makes it easy, but at least he sees that coming as far as like getting hurt or getting, you know, blindsided or you know, getting hit unprepared. Like, I think the offensive line is good enough. I think he's got weapons, as I've been saying this entire offseason. I don't think this is a miserable spot for a young rookie to step into. I don't think the offensive line is atrocious. I don't think there's no one to throw the football to. I understand Tracy's down for a few weeks now. They got Cam Scataboo, who ran the ball really well at running back. Like, as it's an impossible defense. The Chargers are very good and have played very good. And played very well the first couple weeks, and they're a dangerous football team. But I don't think he's stepping into some miserable situation that a lot of these first-time rookie quarterbacks step into where there's no one to block for him, there's no one to throw to, there's no running back game necessarily. Like, I think the Giants are in an okay spot. What scares me is he's just not ready. This fan base is going to get on him quickly if he doesn't perform in this game, because as much as they love him and they'll tolerate him, and by no means would anyone say go back to Russ or bring in Jameis, I think we all understand that he's going to play the rest of the games and we'll just have to live with it. But at the same time, he's associated and connected to Dable and Shane, who right now are toxic with this fan base. That's my concern. My concern is if he gets off to a bad start, the fan base is going to give up on him. My concern is if he gets off to a rough start, what the Giants have been unable to do for the last decade is put their foot in the ground and stop it when it starts to snowball. I don't want to ruin this kid like Daniel Jones was ruined. And I've never had a problem saying Daniel Jones was ruined. Never had a problem. He was ruined. The Giants did him no favors. He just happened to stink as well. But Jackson Dart is now the quarterback of the New York Giants. Hey, listen, it's something exciting. It's something to sink our teeth into. We get to see the future of the New York Giants, hopefully, starting week number 4. And I do feel better that a lot of the reporters are talking about where it could have been easily week number 1 if they hadn't made promises to Russell Wilson. And if they didn't think he needed just a little bit of grooming, if they didn't think it was a certainty that they were just going to give him some weeks, that he might have been the quarterback week 1, that he's played that well, and that he soaked this up and he knows the offense. Let's go find out. And if they ever win this football game, season back on. I don't care what anybody says. If Jackson Dart comes in and wins this game, yeah, I would still feel like playoffs, you can forget it at 1-3. But then they go and take on the Saints, 2-3. That's a season, believe it or not. And I do think there's he probably gives them a better chance to win, especially against this kind of defense. Maybe a defense that's miserable, a defense with a bad, you know, against the Saints, could you argue that Russell Wilson might give him a better chance to win because he's more accomplished. Nothing's going to surprise him. He probably won't make a rookie mistake. He can pick apart a bad defensive backfield. Yeah, probably right. But against a bad good defensive team, I don't know if Russell Wilson gives them a better chance to win the Jackson Dart. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited about it as a fan. I'm concerned about it as a fan as well. I'm concerned and I'm excited. But overall, nothing the Giants have touched in the last 10 years has gone well. Nothing. Nothing they've done, no decision they made is the right one, and I'm terrified they're making another wrong one here by bringing this kid early when I thought he should have waited at least 6-7 games. But we will see. The career of Jackson Dart starts on Sunday. The future of the New York Giants starts on Sunday. And just saying that statement makes me feel a hell of a lot more excited about Sunday than I would have otherwise. So that's the positive of it. And I do think, like, and I know it's connected to the coach's job. I think that's probably being overblown because I think they're going to have to win some football games and we'll see. And yeah, I mean, if he plays great, one, they'll win football games because good quarterback play wins you football games. And two, yeah, it would speak volumes about this coach who's finally getting his chance to shine. So, you know, but that's what makes me feel like it's forced. That's what concerns me. The idea that we're hanging our hats on the idea that this could save the coach. And I'm sure that it frustrates a lot of fans who don't want to see anything save this coach, but I don't want it for the wrong reasons. But I'm excited. I'm excited. He's got at this point better legs, at this point probably, you know, more tools to go out there and be successful. And we'll see how it looks on Sunday. But again, it could look really bad. It could look really bad. And as, you know, Slayton talked about, you got to be patient. You got to be patient with this kid. But like I don't want to see it. Like what scares me is 28-3, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, Giants go 3-and-out, and he's getting booed running off the field. That's what scares me. That's what scares me, because right now the Giant fans are that pissed off at everything New York Giants, that pissed off at the owner, that pissed off at the coach, that pissed off at the GM, that the quarterback could feel the brunt of it even though they're not pissed at him. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kyle in Westchester. What's up, Kyle?
All right. What's up there, Big Matt?
What's going on there, Kyle?
Hey, what's up there, my man? Before we get to the Giants, I just want to say something. I mean, Aaron Glenn, with that blocked field goal, the way he was moving, he was, you know, high-legged, you know, going down that sideline.
Yep.
I think he could be the first player coach in the NFL. I think he could suit up Monday night.
Yeah, I could see him on the punt team, no doubt.
He was high-stepping and he was moving down. I mean, it was a great show. They were just still about a couple of minutes short there, the Jets.
Yeah.
Now the Giants, put Dart in there. Let's see him. Let him go in there. Let's get some game time. Giants 0-3. What are you losing? You're losing nothing.
Well, you're losing him, Kyle. You're losing him if it doesn't go well. That's what I'm concerned about. Because to me, it's not about winning the fourth game. It really isn't, unfortunately. It should be. It really should be. But it's not. It's not about anything other than developing this kid. And there was a plan for it. I believed in the plan. Coming out of Ole Miss, I thought he could have used some time. If this decision is a panic move, then I'm pissed about it. If this decision is honestly that they think this is the best thing for the team, that he's a better option than Russell Wilson, and not only can you bring him up and start to develop him, but he also gives you the best chance to win. If that's literally where they're coming from, and it sounds like from Connor Hughes and others that kind of is where the Giants coming from, then I feel better about it. But again, everything they touch turns to crap. So it's hard to have a lot of faith. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
See, Mac, every night's a good night to be a Yankee fan.
That is true.
Tonight is as well. You know why tonight is? Because the circle of trust for the bullpen right now, C-Mac, is just wide open. Everybody is in it. Hill has been restored. Even Cruz, who was going out of my circle of trust, is back in it. Devin Williams is striking people out like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And the Dreamweaver was good last night. C-Mac, everybody is ready to throw it from our bullpen.
Yeah, you're a lot more. I'm pretty confident there, Paul. If you know me, I'm pretty damn confident. That's I think even you have me beat on the confidence level of this bullpen. That's without question still the scariest part of this team.
See, Mac, when you root for a great franchise like the Yankees, you should always be confident. Because everybody who's a Yankee fan, you probably also have one garbage team. You just talk about your garbage team.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
doubt. I've got my garbage Buffalo Sabres. The Yankees make me feel good because I know I can count on them, and they're going to come through. They're going to go through the AL like a hot knife through butter this year. See, Mac, I don't fear any of these teams.
Well, I don't fear any of them either. Now, I fear the Yankees, and I fear the bullpen. But you're right. I've said the same thing forever. This is what gets me trouble. This is what gets me the Yankee shill moniker. Like, if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a New York sports fan in particular, but if you're a New York Yankee fan in general, I don't care who else you root for, the odds that other teams that you root for do better for you than the New York Yankees is hard to believe. You got to be pretty lucky to be a fan of a bunch of teams, including the Yankees, and have other teams that do better by you. The Yankees do pretty good by you. If you're a Yankee fan, they do pretty good by you. I know it's frustrating, and you know they're the ones who started this championship or bust mentality in the 90s, and you know they should be measured by that, and they haven't won since 2009. It's unacceptable. I get it. Year in and year out, we're watching them pop champagne. Year in and year out, they're playing meaningful games the entire season. Year in and year out, there are postseason games. It's not as easy as you think it is because they have a payroll. The Mets prove that. Like, it's just not that easy to suddenly, oh, you know, I'll be in the playoffs for the next 33 years. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy. And whatever teams you root for, if you're lucky enough to be a Yankee fan, they do better by you than the other teams you root for. Unless you happen to be, you know, in recent years, a Kansas City Chief fan or an Eagles fan or, you know, a Golden State Warriors fan. Other than that, the Yankees do pretty good by you. And I'm excited about the season. Now, hot knife through butter, I don't know. Do I think they're the best team in the American League? Yeah, I've been saying it for a month. More than that. I don't think there's any doubt. Their lineup, their rotation, best team in baseball. Best team in the American League. I don't think there's any doubt. I firmly believe that. They've been running the bases better. I just read a whole article about scouts raving about how the Yankees have run the bases better. I know they get picked off, but they're aggressive. We haven't seen any real base running mistakes, and they steal bases, and they provide issues for the other team because of their speed. And their defense has even been much better. Like, sure, there are odd mistakes. The Mets dropped, Soto dropped the ball in right field. McNeil threw away two balls in the same inning that led to a run. Watch any team in baseball. They are going to make errors. It happens so often, there's an entire column on the scorebook dedicated just to errors. But for the most part, the Yankees have been fairly clean. Last night, they were actually really good defensively. You see continued great plays from third base. And even Ben Rice made a bunch of scoops from McMahon, who made a barehanded play on a tough ground ball. Like, the defense has been better. And Anthony Volpe's been better. Let's be honest. That's another conversation. Who's the starting shortstop? I'm telling you, I think it's going to be Anthony Volpe. He's gotten pretty much two hits tonight. Last night, he leads off the ninth inning with the base hit that ends up being the game-tying run and sets up that inning with that single. He hasn't made an error since coming back from the injury. His offense is much better. He's going the other way. He looks a lot like the player we saw in the postseason last year. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be the starting shortstop. I really feel pretty confident about it now. Plus, I think they love the idea of being able to put Caballero in any spot, go pinch run him in a spot with G, and the G gets on. Giancarlo Stanton gets walked or hits a bullet line drive single in the eighth inning down a run. Boom. Caballero's in there to steal a base. I think that's the best version of the New York Yankees. I think that's it, and I think it's going to be Anthony Volpe. The only questions are, like, right now, heading into a wild card series, and let's just talk about what we have right now before we take down the frauds and win the division. But right now, it would be a wild card series. The question is, who's your third starter, and who's your starting shortstop? That's kind of the question marks of this team right now that they're going to figure out over the next five games. Yeah, you know, the pecking order of the bullpen, I sort of think is up for grabs. I'll tell you this. You know who I think is number two? Obviously, Bednar's the closer. I think Devin Williams is their number two. I think Devin Williams has jumped everybody else. I think he's jumped Weaver. I think the eighth inning of a tie game, one-run lead, eighth inning, I think you're looking at Devin Williams coming in. I really do. I think he has jumped Weaver in the pecking order. Cruz is the first guy out of the bullpen, especially with runners on, because they're looking for strikeouts, and he's their best strikeout pitcher with that splitter. So in the sixth, fifth, you know, starter puts two guys on with an out. One out, two on, you're going to bring in Cruz because you're looking for strikeouts. And he's got the split finger that gets the strikeouts. From that point on, I think the pecking order is Weaver, Williams, Bednar. And we'll see if that we'll see how that works out. 888-808-1019. But again, to me, the Red Sox are probably the one team that I would tell you I am significantly nervous about. I still think the Yankees could win that series. I still think they will win that series. But the Red Sox at least put a little bit of fear into me. I'm not overly concerned about the Blue Jays until they prove to me they can win a playoff game. The Tigers are in free fall. The Astros really just aren't very good. The Cleveland Guardians are hot as you can be. They're the Cleveland Guardians. So, like, any of those teams scare you? Even, you know, let's be honest. Yeah, they've got some good starting pitching, and they've done a nice job, and Cal Raleigh's been great, and Rodriguez is having a bounce-back year, and they're taking control of that Western Division. Are you worried about Seattle, who's done nothing for 20-plus years? I'm not saying they can't beat the Yankees. Any one of these teams could beat the Yankees. It's baseball. But I'm not overly concerned about it. There's only one thing that makes me nervous about the Yankees in the postseason, and it's the same thing that's made me nervous last year, same thing that's usually made me nervous throughout this entire era. Are they going to beat themselves? Or are they not going to score? It's not the other teams, it's the Yankees. Is the offense going to go into, you know, shell? Is Aaron Judge going to be the MVP, or is he going to struggle like he has in the last two postseasons? Because I'll tell you, I don't care who they play. They could play the Tigers, they could play the Guardians, they could play the Red Sox, they could play the Blue Jays, they could play the Mariners. If Aaron Judge goes 0 for 16 or 1 for 17, probably not going to win. So who scares me? The New York.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, the Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
I want to be sedated. And the best thing about the baseball is we do it all again tonight. That's the best thing about baseball. We still got five more games left. The New York Mets still have games to win, as now the Arizona Diamondbacks have thrusted themselves right into it. They're a game back. They're still a game back with the tiebreaker. So, and they walked off the Dodgers last night. And again, hey, if you're the Mets and you get in on that final wild card and you got to take on the Dodgers, yeah, it sounds like Ohtani's locked and loaded for game number one. He pitched six scoreless innings against Arizona last night, but their bullpen is an out-and-out mess. Tanner Scott, who they gave this big contract to, just blew the game against the Diamondbacks, and he's been awful this year. They are not this dominant team. They're not. And, you know, as, you know, especially, you know, Yankee fans are, oh, you got to be more like the Dodgers. Oh, you got to be more like the Mets. Oh, you got to be teams that are run better. Everyone's run better than the Yankees. Well, the Yankees have a better record than both of those teams. Not that it's the, and I know the Dodgers won the World Series last year and beat the Yankees, but this team right now, they keep throwing out money. They give big time money to Tanner Scott. Hasn't helped out. Same thing, you know, the Yankees trade for Devin Williams was a disaster. There's no guarantees in this world, especially in the bullpen. And that's why Diaz is worth his weight in gold for the New York Mets, and why when I question about shaking the core up, I don't mean Diaz, because he has proven to be one of these relievers over the last couple of years that is just consistently good. Sometimes better than others, but consistently good. And last night he was great for the Mets. They still have more games to win, and they'll play tonight out in Chicago. While the Reds will take on Pittsburgh, the Diamondbacks will take on the Dodgers, and the Mets are fighting for their lives. But last night was one of those games that was, you know, the best win of the year. They came from behind for the first time, down 5. And in a game you thought they were dead, they got off the mat and put fate back in their own hands. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
What's going on?
Well, you didn't get what you wanted, so...
No, I would rather have waited on Jackson Dart, but there is a part of me, part of me, who's excited about it. I mean, I'm more excited to watch the game on Sunday. I don't think there's any doubt.
We're moving into a new era. I want you to act like a man and act like... Do you think Jackson Dart's going, oh, I need another 2 weeks, 2 more weeks, and I'll be ready? Listen... It's a transition. It's time to transition, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
And you're going to be positive about this transition.
I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what
like
I want to do.
A little nervous, Nelly knocking your knees.
I'm not nervous. I'm telling you what I think. I need the quarterback to develop well. I need him to be the future. I don't need him to start right now. I don't need him to win this game. I need him
How
to be the
this?
Future of the
Listen,
quarterback. Yeah.
For the first 3 weeks, most of the experts, whoever the experts are, you know, there's a couple of football players. The main thing they're saying about the Giants is their play development and the offensive game plan and how most of 80% of the team have a more dynamic offense. Mm-hmm. That's where the situation lies, okay? Because now it's on Dable, right? And now it's not
going to
be
on Dable too
early.
It wasn't on Dable yesterday? On
no, it was
now
on,
it's
Russell,
on Dable?
Russell Wilson. It was on Russell Wilson.
No, it wasn't.
That's who it was on. The
no, it's
lead.
Not. It's been on,
the
Brian,
leader
it's,
on the field.
It's been on Brian Dable. It's been on Brian Dable. He's the head coach of the team. He's the offensive. It's his offense. It's on him. It was never on Russell Wilson. It's on him, and it won't be on. So it's not
really.
Be on,
he's never been called out on anything.
Of course
Chris.
He has. What are you talking about? Of course he has. You think he'll be?
So what?
Who's going to call him out if Jackson Dart's not playing well?
Nobody calls him out that he doesn't
who's gonna
call
him? Plays. Who's going to call him out now
no
when Jackson Dart plays well?
No one calls him out that he has an inept offense.
Of course they do. What are you talking about?
The only thing they call him out on is that he's supposed to be the quarterback expert, and we haven't seen it yet. That's the only thing they call
Make
him out
please.
On.
Please. You don't think he's been called out on the red zone inefficiency? What are you talking about? Well, if all you mean is called out on is by, like, the owner firing him, I don't know what you want. Everybody's been talking about how lousy this offense has been. Everybody's been talking about over the last 2 years their inefficiency in the red zone. Everybody. Yes, they didn't fire him, but I don't know what you mean by not calling him out. The offense and how putrid it's been has been called out by everyone.
Right. On two things on the Giants. What do you think about this? I'm thinking if Dable's gone and this regime is gone, I'd like a Rex Ryan defense and the old Arizona Bruce Arian.
Yes.
On the,
why not?
Running
let's,
the
let's,
offense.
Let's pull some relics out. Let's do that. Anybody else?
Right. That's what the Giants need. Yeah. They need some relics.
Yeah, see if they can get him out of retirement.
Right.
To see
and
if he wants to come coach. Yeah, that's the last idea I needed to hear from you today. We'll end it on the Bruce Arians suggestion. I'm not, you know, Rex Ryan to run the defense and Bruce Arians to run the and to be the head coach and run the offense. because I doubt he's coming out of retirement to be an offensive coordinator. Plus, his health isn't very good, but that, I mean, or at least when he coaches, you know, so that was not so much. And I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody's been killing Brian Daboll. What do you mean no one's called him out? What do you want for call? Like, we've been screaming about it. After week one, I screamed about it. Yeah, I wanted to keep him. I did. I wanted to keep him at the head coach because I didn't trust John Mara to hire another coach. He hadn't had an opportunity to develop a young quarterback. I wanted to give him that opportunity. That's what he was hired for, and he never got it. And I believed with the improvements they've made to the roster, I thought he could build a good offense. In two of the first 3 weeks, it hasn't just been not a good offense. It's been horrendous. Horrendous. And even the game where the offense was great and put up 37 points, I mean, let's be honest, it's still an NFL football team, the Dallas Cowboys, but their defense might prove out to be one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL this year. So I'm not even that excited about the big-time performance they put up in Dallas. So I get it. It's on Brian Daboll. And the idea that this is to save Brian Daboll is what pisses me off. I don't want to make decisions on when this next generational quarterback plays based on whether or not the coach needs him to get hired or not fired. I want to make the decision based on what's best for him. And yeah, of course, Jackson Dart's not sitting there thinking, oh, I need another week, I need 2 weeks. No, of course not. Neither was Jamarcus Russell. Neither was Zach Wilson. Neither was Sam Darnold. Neither was Daniel Jones. Neither were any of the other quarterbacks who failed after being thrusted right in. They probably thought they were ready to go too. Of course Jackson Dart thinks he's ready to play. If he didn't think he was ready to play, then they wouldn't put him in. He's probably an uber confident kid ready to go, particularly with the way he played in spring and what they've looked in, and I would say spring training, with the way he played in preseason and the way Russell Wilson played. I'm sure he thinks he's what's best for this team, and he should. It's on Brian Daboll. It's been on Brian Daboll. Just because he hasn't been fired doesn't mean it's not on him. It's on him. Travis in the Bronx. What's up, Travis?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So last time I called, we went back and forth about putting him in and, you know, waiting. So they made the decision now. So Does their season start Sunday, or is there enough that we've seen where, you know, what happened the first three games and what's happened the last 2 years, even though Daboll hasn't had his quote unquote guy? So what has more weight? The next, 14 games?
Yeah.
Or the last 2 years where we've kind of like scratched our head, like, what's going on with this coach? And
What do you think? Because I mean, it's an obvious answer. It's an obvious answer because you can go back the last 2 years. That's fine. The last 2 years were still the last 2 years. The last 2 years were still there to be looked at when the owner decided not to move on from him, when the owner decided not to fire him. So when you ask me the last 2 years, they already made that decision. So which one weighs more, the first three or the next 14?
Obviously, you know, the reason for me, now that we have Dart, I think the next 14 are the most important.
Obviously.
That Daboll's had.
Obviously.
So, yeah. My question essentially is, so what happens if they go 3-11 and, you know, Daboll, they look competitive, but he's still not sold. Do you think that there's a chance that they bring in a new coach? Not that there's a chance of that, but that, you know, Dart becomes expendable, but, you know, and then he turns into another.
With 3 wins, it depends on how it looks, right? I mean, if Jackson Dart balls out and they lose because their defense stinks, because, you know, Sexy Dexy never gets back to what he was and continues to play the way he has over the first three games, Abdul Carter doesn't play well, this pass rush isn't what we thought it was, the young kids in the defensive backfield don't take a step forward, Shane Bowen's a terrible defensive coordinator, and they lose games 38-30, and they lose games 41-35, but Jackson Dart plays well, and we see offense, even with three losses, I would tell you there's a slim chance that you could still bring back Dable if he proves that Jackson Dart is a growing, capable, you know, top half of the league quarterback already in year number one. Then that's open. Then that's open for debate. I don't know how you do that and only win three games. Like, it's tough. So it depends on how you view it. Three is a low number, but if they win six games and Jackson Dart plays well, then yes, absolutely, the coach could be back.
I agree, and I think, you know, what's getting lost in all of this is the Giants, for the first time in a long, long time, they've got neighbors.
Yeah.
The emergence of Scadabo, you know, Abdul Carter, they have Dart, Dexter Lawrence, Thibodeau, like all of these guys. Yeah, this year might be rough, but if they show like some progression, next year, you know, they have enough young talent where they can compete.
I would think so, but again, they haven't yet, and it depends on how you view how these games go. And if Jackson Dart doesn't play well, then your scenario of him becoming obsolete? What was the word you used? But like, if they're miserable, he doesn't perform well, and they win two or three games, and they're drafting at the top, and Brian Dable and Shane have to go because you would have to fire them, then yeah, in a heavier quarterback draft, you are talking about the possibility of the new regime drafting another quarterback. We've seen it recently with Arizona. Right, they drafted what's his name in the big draft with all the five quarterbacks from UCLA. Well, I can't think of his name right now. Rosen. They drafted Josh Rosen. And then the next year, they were awful. He was awful. Wilkes was the head coach, I believe. He was awful. Not seeing much better as a defensive coordinator for the Jets, but he was awful. They finished with the top pick. They brought in Cliff Kingsbury in a new, you know, operation in Arizona, and they decided to draft Kyler Murray with the first overall pick. Like, it's happened before, and I think Rosen was a higher draft pick than Jackson Dart is. So it could happen. If they're miserable and they're drafting at the top of the draft again, and it's a new coach and a new GM, absolutely. Drafting another quarterback is up for debate. And furthermore, believe it or not, it's probably what I would be suggesting to do. It's, you got to find the quarterback. If Jackson Dart plays terribly down the stretch here, they don't win any games, they're drafting at the top, new coach, new regime, they should draft the young quarterback they believe in. That's probably what I'll be screaming. I'll be on, I'll click it on at 2:00 in the morning. It's time to draft the next quarterback. That's what I'll be saying. And it sucks, but that's what I'll be saying, because you have to find the quarterback if you want to have a winning football team. And if they fire and hire a new GM and a new head coach, and Jackson Dart doesn't play well, and they feel like this is a big-time quarterback draft and they're at the top of it, draft the quarterback. Do it. Draft the quarterback and trade Jackson Dart. I mean, who wants to see that? But that's where it will be. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, you're right. If the offense goes, as the song says, while my guitar gently weeps, they're not going anywhere. But if it's the other song that says I'm only sleeping, where are they going to go?
I'm only sleeping. I don't know. That's like the third time you referenced that song. You love that song. You're talking about the offense with the Yankees.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Judge doesn't hit. I think this year he'll hear it. Next year, at the beginning of the year, he'll hear it. He's got to produce. John Carlos has played how many games this year?
I'm not sure exactly how many he's played. 50, maybe?
20-something home runs. How many RBIs? 50-something?
Yeah, no, he's played maybe 60 games, and he's got almost, if he's got 20 home runs and 50-something RBIs, 900 OPS. He's been great, Giancarlo Stanton.
And he's been great in the postseason every year for the Yankees?
Every year since 2020, yes. The first 2 years, not so much in 18 and 19.
No, not so much, and Judge was great in 19. That was the last time he was great in the postseason. Yeah. All right, so he's got to wake up and hit.
No, absolutely.
They're relying on just one guy. I mean, I know Gleyber Torres had a great postseason last year, and Volpe hit the biggest hit in the postseason last year for the Yankees. But what has Volpe given this year? Leads the American League in errors?
Yeah, no, he's been bad, Stu, and I'm sorry I'm up against the break. Look, the offense got a hit. And yeah, you can't rely on one person, but you can't be void of your best player. Like, he's got to show up. We all know it. Now that they've clinched the playoffs with the win last night, and we know they're in there, and they're still chasing the division, whatever the case may be, Aaron Judge needs to hit and perform. Otherwise, they probably won't win. It's not impossible if someone else goes off, if Giancarlo goes off and Bellinger joins him, or Rice, who now has, you know, 7 hits in the last 2 games and is really turning it on here. Like, they have enough guys. Jazz could go off. You never know. It's possible, but it's very unlikely that we see Aaron Judge perform the way he's performed in the last 2 postseasons, where you're talking about striking out at a 50-60% clip. Like, you're not going to win Judge doing that. You're just not. So that's what it comes down to. It always comes down to. So again, like, when I look at the matchups for these teams, and now that they're in and they've clinched, and you start looking at the matchups, and they could either play Boston, or they could play Detroit or Houston, or, you know, Cleveland or whomever. Like, none of those teams in the American League scare me. The National League teams are better. Like, I know that conversation's been overblown. I think the overall depth of the American League is right there with the depth of the National League. Like, but the top teams, like, there are teams in the National League that scare you. The Dodgers, as much as I downplayed them a little bit, they're not a super team, but they're an excellent baseball team. They scare you. The Milwaukee Brewers, who I don't think are going to win anything this year, they're a very talented team. They played extremely well. You know, they've earned the respect to say they're a scary baseball team. The Chicago Cubs, 188 games. They've pitched well. They have a lineup that scored, you know, almost as many runs as the New York Yankees. They're a dangerous team. But right now in the American League, you look at it, I don't really care who the Yankees play. I got to be honest with you. I don't care. They're better than everyone they will play. It doesn't matter who they play. The Yankees will be better. But will they play better? That's what it comes down to. Will they play better? And right now, I feel a little bit better. We've seen some pickoffs and some caught stealings because they've been uber aggressive on the base paths. But we haven't seen a lot of dumb mistakes as of late. Doesn't mean that they've completely nullified them and we won't see them again. But I haven't seen a ton of I know last night there was miscommunication in the outfield and it led to the second run. The home run should have just been a solo home run. So I guess that happened last night. That's a dumb play. But, like, outside of that, like, it hasn't been the same debacle we saw for long stretches in the middle of the summer. I think they've cleaned that up. And the base running, while, yeah, they still get picked off from time to time, they're aggressive. They've gone first to third a lot. They steal a lot of bases. They have guys in Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, obviously Caballero, all can run, all can steal bases. Like, I think they're a dangerous team. I think they're better than everybody else. Their starting rotation certainly, I think, is the best in the American League. We're right there with the Mariners. As far as the top four. We'll see if they play well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.